The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Republicans are passing massive DOGE cuts as we speak, and we are breaking down how PBS and NPR are part of that and all the waste, fraud, and abuse as well that's going to be cut. Jasmine Crockett, as part of the negotiations over what will be cut in the DOGE bill going on right now, made the most ridiculous argument of the entire negotiating process. We have a video of it. She said that we need Sesame Street to go spread democracy in the world, in Iran and Iraq and the Middle East and North Korea. Take a look.
When you start to talk about whether or not Sesame Street or anything else that's on NPR or PBS ends up in other places, this is so that there is not this warped thought process about the Western world or about the United States. We're talking about making sure that we don't end up allowing people to be radicalized against us because they have a terrible vision of us, because they may be in a government that actually puts out bad, terrible propaganda about us.
Okay, so first off, when did Jasmine Crockett, of all people, start to love Western ideals and want America to spread? She hates American ideals. She's made that very clear her entire campaign, her entire career. Second off, I think we can all agree that there are better ways to do that, if you care about that, than having Sesame Street play in North Korea. So with that, here is everything included in this bill, because not a lot of people are talking about it. The bill right now, it passed the House on the 12th, and the first wave of negotiation passed with a tie-breaking vote from J.D. Vance in the Senate today. Now, they're going to go to one more vote to make it official, and then they're going to go back to the House for their final negotiations, and I think it's highly likely that it will pass. The only senators who didn't vote in favor of this, of course, were Collins, Murkowski, and McConnell. Now, first off, Mitch McConnell, we'll break each one down. Mitch McConnell is an idiot for not voting yes on this, I think completely. I think he needs to be replaced, and he will. But as I've talked about in the past, it's actually not the worst thing that Collins didn't vote for this. I know a lot of people call her a rhino, but you have to realize that she is in a purple state at best, if anything, a little bit more on the blue side. And I know Republicans want to talk about primarying her and putting a more MAGA candidate in there, but you have to understand a MAGA candidate would not win in Maine. They just wouldn't, not at this stage. And so the question is, would you rather have a rhino or a Democrat as a senator in Maine? And for me, I'd rather have a rhino, because at least she's going to vote correctly most of the time. For instance, if there's another Supreme Court justice and they need to be confirmed, most likely Collins is going to go along with the rest of Republicans. If you have a Democrat, that would not happen. So again, rhino, much better than a Democrat. Her not voting for this does not change the outcome of the bill, so I'm not really mad about it. In any case, they didn't need her vote to pass. This is what is actually in the bill. The total amount rescinded is at about $9.4 billion of abuse, fraud, and PBS and NPR. $1.1 billion of that is the NPR PBS stuff. That's how much we are essentially giving to those two stations and their affiliates. And then the rest mostly comes from USAID, which is fantastic. Breaking that down a little bit further, again, about $1.1 billion comes from PBS and NPR. This would effectively eliminate all funding to them, which is fantastic. The rest is from USAID, $2.5 billion from Development Assistance, $1.6 billion from Economic Support Fund, which, by the way, this is all gobbledygook. This could go to anybody. This is the funding Guatemalan trans education. A little bit later in it, it actually talks about specific, I mean, you can see there's transition initiatives, democracy fund, USAID operating expenses. So the most random thing, and by the way, those operating expenses are $125 million. So this is a lot of money. And you've got international disaster assistance, migration and refugee assistance, things that can be done in the private sector or really shouldn't be done in the dark when you actually go through it and see what's actually being done. Again, when you say, there's this one democracy fund, right? You hear that and you think, well, that's actually pretty good. You know, we want democracy abroad. But then you find out that it's funding transitioning surgeries in Guatemala or in Cambodia. You realize, oh, yeah, that's just a thing that people say in order to get whatever they want funded. That's what's being cut in this bill. Now, for those of you who are civic scholars, you'll remember that only the reconciliation package can usually pass with only 50 votes. That's what the big, beautiful bill was. That's why they tend to get so big, is because people are trying to really push everything in there because it only needs a majority rather than 60. All the other bills can be filibustered, and so you need at least 60 votes in the Senate to break that. The reason why this was able to pass with only 50 is due to something called the rescission process. And this is just according to Wikipedia on the rescission process. It uses the expedited presidential rescission provision under the Congressional Budget and Empowerment Control Act of 1974. So it bypasses the Senate filibuster and only requires 51 votes to pass. In other words, there are some times where you can cut spending but not add spending with only 50 votes. And I think this was very well used by Republicans in this instance. Now, this is not just a fiscal win. Obviously, the $9.4 billion being cut is good. It's not a massive amount of money, but it's still a good thing. I think more than the fiscal win, this is a cultural win and a social policy win. What's far better than the $9 billion is the fact that we are no longer subsidizing NPR, which is a radical leftist organization now. I know a lot of people grew up listening to NPR. I did. And back then, maybe in the early 2000s, it was mostly kind of in the middle. Now they run stories about trans men and women in a pro-light, and they're overtly partisan. It is very clear. Go open NPR. A lot of people don't watch NPR anymore, which is a good thing because they're not good. But go to NPR's website and just look at their top 10 stories. You will see insane bias in there. They are not unbiased like they claim. PBS is really not much better. We've all seen what they're doing with Sesame Street. They've had some very scary LGBTQ stuff in there, which I've talked about in the past. And I think it is perfectly fine. Again, this is not a censorship issue. This is not a free speech issue. It's perfectly fine for these people to exist on their own. If PBS and NPR want to do these things, that is their prerogative. And we can all call them out and say they're stupid, but that doesn't mean that we should censor them. This is not censoring them. This is us saying that we should not pay for it anymore and that they shouldn't masquerade as an objective outlet. That's all it's saying. Now, apart from the PBS and the NPR stuff, we also have USAID. And on the social policy side, this is a huge one as well, because cutting USAID is a monumental win for DOGE, Elon Musk, Donald Trump, and the Republicans. It was a completely corrupt organization. It was funding who knows what in a lot of cases. And then, of course, there's a lot of evidence that it was actually being siphoned back to progressive and Democrat groups in the United States, which is horrible and very corrupt. So, again, cutting their funding is a massive turning point in trying to root out corruption and fraud, which was ultimately DOGE's whole objective in the first place. Growing your business can be satisfying, but it's also very difficult. Sales assistants, marketing specialists, accountants, they're all essential for scaling your business, but it can be incredibly expensive at times, especially when you're in the small and medium phases of your business. And the quality of talent sometimes can be rough. And that's why I partnered with Leverage Assistant. Leverage Assistant connects American businesses like yours with the accountants, the data analysts, marketing specialists, sales assistants, you name it, working in the exact same time zones of your business for a fraction of the cost. The average company right now is saving more than $20,000 a year in labor costs thanks to Leverage Assistant. They're not a recruiter. They're not a marketplace. Leverage Assistant is a high-touch resourcing solution where they are vetting every assistant through over 12 hours of interviews, skill tests, reference checks, and behavioral assessments to ensure that the right cultural and operational fit for your business. And right now, they're being incredibly generous with just you guys, my viewers. They're giving 1 month free so that you can check out how high quality talent they are without any risk to you. So to go check that out and to get that 1 month free, head to the link in the description below. We all know by now that nobody wants to be president more than Gavin Newsom. And honestly, props to him, because he's been going on a lot of conservative podcasts to get his name out there. And I commend him for actually facing the music. The only problem with that is it is painfully clear how much of a snake it is when he goes and he gets questioned on these podcasts. So he was on Sean Ryan's show this week. He was asked about his plans to run for president. Here's what he said.
It seems like you're gearing up for maybe a presidential run. I mean, you were just in South Carolina, went to a couple different places there to speak. I mean, are you gearing up for a 2028 run?
No, I'm gearing up for 2016, because from my humble perspective, I think it's existential. if my party's not successful next year. And that's why I was out there on the stump, 9 different events, just making the case. Don't look for the guy or gal on the white horse to come save the day in 2028. I think it's the Democrat Party's, I'm blown away the Democrats' obsession with just that sort of perfect person that's going to say, you know, sort of this John Wayne thing, this romantic version of that person's going to save the day. Meanwhile, we're not doing the hard work in between. 2028 is 4 damn years. I mean, this guy just got elected. Mm-hmm. Been office a little over 6 months or about 6 goddamn months. Why the hell are we talking about 2028? And so we got to grind. We got to, at how, you know, these House seats. That's it, man. It's to me. I need a Speaker Jeffries. People out there love this Speaker Johnson guy. I don't. He wants, of course, to tar and feather me. It's a spiritual term, I imagine. I didn't see that. Maybe it's in the, Old Testament, not the New Testament, but we have different points of view and world vision.
So you're not going to run?
I'm going to run if he tries to tar and feather me. But as it relates to the presidency, who the hell knows? That's fate. That's, you, do you meet a moment? Are you wasting anyone's time? Do you have a why, a compelling why? I mean, I would have to sit in front of you and feel totally congruent that I'm just like, this is the why. Why are you running? And just say, this is, you know, and have that burning conviction. I'll tell you, the more Trump keeps doing what he does, the more compelled I am to think about it. I've never felt more outrage, more anger.
So before I show you where he really goes off the rails in this interview, let me point something out. Gavin Newsom is not lazy. He is working hard. When he says he is focused on the midterms, I actually do believe him. And the reason why is because if he's president, he wants a Democrat Senate and he wants a Democrat Congress to help him out to actually get things done. Because again, in our system, and this is a good thing, you can't do that much just as president. You need a unified government, which is what Republicans have right now. And that's why they were able to pass the big, beautiful bill and why they're working on the DOGE cuts right now. And he wants credit for getting them there as well. If he can get people in the Senate or in the House, he wants all that credit going into 2028. The problem that Gavin Newsom has is his horrible policy has outshined his hard work for the Democrat Party. He's been incredibly loyal, very loyal to Joe Biden, very loyal to Kamala Harris, very loyal just to Democrats at large, and he works hard for him. But he sucks at his job. He's so bad. He was bad as mayor in San Francisco. He was horrible, obviously, as California governor right now. And again, that goes from COVID to this next clip that I'm going to show where Sean Ryan brings up the time Gavin Newsom actually helped clean up San Francisco, not for his own citizens, of course, but for Xi Jinping. Here's Newsom trying to defend that.
We hear a lot about San Francisco and the homelessness and pooping on the road and all that kind of stuff. And it seemed like all of that was cleaned up when Xi came to town.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Complete.
That's complete.
The city, which, by the way, I'm no longer mayor, was organizing for dozens and dozens of foreign leaders, not just Xi, to arrive for APEC. And the city, over the course of last year, had finally started to step up its game to address what's happening on the streets and sidewalks. And there was no question, when you have a major international conference, that there was investments made to prepare the city, as any convention and any city would.
Look, at the end of the day, I don't care who you clean your city up for in terms of foreign leaders. Like, it could be the UK prime minister or it could be Kim Jong-un. I don't care. What matters is that you do it for your citizens. You actually help out the people who are creating value in the place that you're governing. And he clearly cares more about the elites than his own people. That was not the only time that he squirmed in this interview, though. It got much worse. This is Sean Ryan. He calls him out for being very pro-transing the kids, but also having a 9-year-old daughter. Take a look.
What about for your values? I mean, is 8 years old too young?
Yeah, I mean, look, I now that I have a 9-year-old, just became 9, come on, man, I get it. So those are legit. You know, it's interesting, just the issue of age, as someone that's been so focused on equality, broadly, LGBT rights, particularly gay marriage. Mm-hmm. The trans issue for me is also novel. It's It's over the last few years. I'm trying to understand as much as anyone else.
Gavin Newsom says nothing there. I mean, he's just sputtering along. He's very nervous, you can tell. The one part where he's right is he kind of says that this has only been around for a little while. And he's right about that. It's only been around for like 8 years or so. When I was in high school, this did not exist. And that was not that long ago. However, it's not like Gavin Newsom has never had an opinion about this. He's had plenty of opinions on the trans issue in California right now, and he helped craft this legislation. A parent doesn't have the right to know if their kids are getting transitioned. That's a thing. Gavin Newsom's 9-year-old, for example, could be getting groomed at school by a teacher to change her gender to a man. Of course, they can't actually do that, but to actually do surgery to try to do that. And Gavin Newsom wouldn't need to know about it or get to know under the law that he has created. That is insane. And I think the fact that Gavin Newsom won't pivot on that shows how corrupt and morally stained he is. So obviously Gavin Newsom, he's not popular among Republicans. That's a non-starter. But even among Democrats, he's not particularly the front runner looking into 2028. Right now, he's about 10% in the polls. When people are asked about 2028, he's usually third or fourth place. So he could win the nomination. It's a little less likely. But the reason why I don't think he ultimately will is because he's white, which of course is a problem. I mean, not always a problem. Joe Biden was white, so was Hillary Clinton. But I think the Democrat Party is changing right now. He's white, and the biggest problem is he has a very stained past in terms of policy. I think someone who is more intersectional, like AOC, for example, will easily trounce Gavin Newsom. And I frankly don't even think Gavin Newsom is going to be invited into a cabinet if, heaven forbid, AOC were to win the presidency. The progressive left is a cult, guys. I talk all about it in my book, A New Cult. Go check it out right now. I talk about some crazy stories. It's only $9.99 on Amazon right now. The link is in the description below. Thank you so much for watching this video. Please like the video so other great patriots like yourselves will see it. And you can tune in every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the live show, or you can watch another video right here.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.